If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Ian Cron, how are you doing today?
I am doing particularly well.
Yes. Tell the people where we're coming from.
We are coming from the cave.
Typology Studios, aka
The Cave. Here in the 12 South neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee, over my garage, actually.
That's right. And we had a bunch of people floating through the garage. Was it last Friday?
We did, man. We had kind of a housewarming party / come meet all of my kids and their partners party. We had 8 kids, 4 dogs, and we invited another, 30 or 40 people to the house. And I discovered while all those people were there is that we need more rugs and drapes.
Right? Because it got too loud.
Oh, it sounded like Grand Central Station in the middle of my kitchen, right? Because it was like people yak, and it was like bouncing off all the walls.
But that worked to the advantage when we had the little end the round.
We did. We had a bunch of singer-songwriters there. I think I counted 5 Grammy nominees.
Amazing.
Or winners.
Wow.
In the room.
Yeah.
And so we just, we got a couple of guitars on the wall, and spontaneously I'll say, hey, everybody sit down. Any songwriters in the room got something?
A little bluebird moment.
A little bluebird
Nashville
cafe.
Bluebird moment.
In the round.
That's
right. It was fantastic.
And this Monday, we want to count down here. So it's Friday, and in 2 days we leave for
Encampment, Wyoming for a 5-day fly fishing trip with 20 other guys.
Yeah, that's going to be great. That's going to be so good. We're going to be doing our river runs through it.
I'm not so sure, given the people going, that it will be that intelligent or beautifully written.
Oh, one of my fave fishing movies, by the way. But yeah, we're going to be on Encampment River and Encampment, Wyoming, and we're going to be doing some trout fishing. So I'm looking forward to that with you.
Encampment, Wyoming doesn't exactly sound like a metropolis.
No. That'll be nice.
Yeah, it will be indeed.
Well, hey, we got a fantastic episode today. This is really fun. We're doing a little more of this where we have people that have submitted questions. And so I'm going to read the questions to you and you're going to give us some feedback.
Yeah.
Love this. So our first question comes from Gabra Ludi, and she really enjoys the show. She's listened to a lot of the 2 and 9 episodes and they resonate. She says, I can identify a lot with both numbers, but wanted to figure out if there's a way to know which one I really am.
Okay. All right. This is a great question, and I bet you a lot of people have it. It's a very common thing for 2s and 9s to get confused.
Okay.
And there's a couple of reasons for that. Well, one is that even though one's a heart type and the other one's a body type, both numbers can be very heart-oriented, very relational, very caring, very nice, all of that. So they can appear a lot alike, right? And they are in what's called the optimistic triad.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So they will smile a lot. They can be very loving and accommodating. And there's just sort of a positivity about both types.
What's the other number in that triad, by the way, just so we know? The optimistic triad?
Oh, the 7s.
7, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So one question you can ask yourself is, do you think you can make almost anyone like you?
Wow.
Now, a 2 may not admit that openly.
Right.
But 2s really do
believe it.
They have confidence that they can make anyone like them.
Yeah.
Honestly, sometimes a 2 can convince someone that they like them when they don't. Right?
Wow.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. And they can adapt in conversation, both of them, that make other people feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Like they both know how to make people feel good, but that 2 knows how to make people like them.
They have a knowing of that, and the 9 would never really have that kind of perspective, right?
Yeah. If you ask a two that question and they're self-aware
yeah.
and they've done some work, they'll say yes. If you ask a nine that, they won't know how to answer the question.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. That's a great distinction.
And part of that is they're seeking connection, these nines, mm-hmm. you know, but they're not so much seeking for others to like them. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
They're seeking connection,
right?
But they're not assertively trying to make people like them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Very different.
Very, very different. Now, if you talk to a two, you'll hear them talk a lot about relationships. Remember, twos get up in the morning thinking about friendships and relationships. They go to bed at night thinking about friendships and relationships. Whereas nines don't usually have a lot to say. About their friends, you know, not that they can't talk about their friends and how much they like them, but they just don't have like 40 pages mm-hmm. of stuff that they can tell you about their friendships. I'd say that maybe one other thing is you could ask the obvious question of yourself, which is, are you really good at intuitively knowing what other people need and meeting those needs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A two would definitely say yes.
Right.
A nine isn't usually certain that they know intuitively how to meet the needs of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They might like to think they are, but they're just not sure, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Lastly, I'd say that twos are far more image conscious than nines.
Very much so, right? I mean,
yeah,
like, nines kind of center their world around comfort and their clothes a lot of times too.
Oh yeah, I mean, sometimes if you have a two and nine in the room, you can almost tell the difference by how they're dressed. Now, I'm not saying it, like my wife's a nine and
yeah.
she can be really well dressed, you
yes.
know.
Yeah.
But twos put a lot more energy into it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot more we could say about image consciousness, mm-hmm. right? But how they come across to people, they're sort of reading that. I mean, threes and fours,
yeah.
twos, threes and fours,
yeah.
all image conscious. So I think
right.
those are different ways you can figure out whether or not you're a two or a nine.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
All right, our next question is from Clint Manning. He says, I love your podcast. On a previous question and answer episode, you briefly mentioned using the Enneagram and relationships with recovery sponsors and sponsees.
Mm.
His question is, in your opinion, are there some Enneagram personalities that are better suited to be a sponsor-sponsee relationship and some that should be avoided?
Wow, great question.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I've been doing now two or three times going to treatment centers mm-hmm. to speak to pretty large teams of clinicians
right.
working with people who are in treatment.
Right.
Right. And of course, you know, they know a ton about sponsor-sponsee relationships. Right. And here's my thought about, or my conviction about it. I'm convinced that sponsors who are, should I explain to people what a sponsor and a sponsee
are?
Oh
yeah, definitely you should.
Okay.
That'd be good. Yeah.
So when you are in recovery,
mm-hmm.
you have a mentor relationship with what's called a sponsor. It's someone who has been in the program at least for 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who have more experience about life and sobriety that can walk you through the 12 steps
mm-hmm.
and just help you navigate life by being in regular contact. Like, I call my sponsor Steve almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a check-in.
Yeah.
If I'm kind of, you know, in a bad space, meaning like, I don't know, I've had a terrible conversation, I'm anxious or whatever, mm-hmm. depressed. I mean, I'll call Steve, you know,
yeah.
and he always has incredible words of advice, but he's got 30 years of recovery.
Right, right.
So he knows yeah. the issues,
right.
right, that addicts face
yeah.
and helps me navigate them well. So that's what a sponsor is. Obviously, I'm a sponsee, but, you know,
plus Steve comes with little quips that are just
oh
like life-changing,
gosh.
Right?
Life-changing quips, right?
So good.
Like, he'll ask me, like, did I ever tell you about the question one time early in my recovery? He asked me this question. He said, What if all your old ideas are wrong?
So good.
Or questions like this. Who would you be if you weren't who you think you are? I mean, that's like something that like throws me, that kind of stuff throws me on my back. Anyway,
that's good.
Guy's a genius. Yeah. Anyhow, back to the question. Well, first of all, I believe that if a sponsor is familiar with the Enneagram, maybe they could encourage a sponsee to figure out their type. And if there's resistance, at least, this, you know, if a sponsor really knows the Enneagram, maybe they'll be able to figure out what the other person's type is. Now, if you do that, it's going to save the sponsor. It's going to accelerate the development of the relationship between the sponsor and the sponsee.
Right.
And the sponsor is going to know things about the sponsee. For example, when the sponsee is going into stress mode, the sponsor can spot that and intervene. Like as a four, Steve can spot when I'm kind of going into a self-pity spiral, when I'm a little depressed, melancholy, when I'm feeling like, you know, the old tape of I'll never fit in. I don't like going to meetings right now because I don't feel like I'm making connections. He'll go, okay. He could say, all right, let's just talk about that. It sounds like your four buttons are going off.
Right.
You
right.
see that? It just gives you a new language.
Absolutely.
Between sponsor and sponsee. Okay. That said, I actually, and you've heard me say this in different settings, contexts, I actually believe that if both types, if the sponsor is healthy in their type, you know, they can work with anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there is necessarily, I don't know.
It's not any one number, but the Enneagram itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
now,
very helpful. Yeah.
Let's just make this clear. The Enneagram doesn't account for all the kookiness that people have.
Right. That's right. That's a good point.
Right. I mean, it just doesn't.
If you're on the scale somewhere.
And even when you know the Enneagram, there will always be people who trigger you.
Yeah. Right. That's
And so, you know, and it may not be on the because of type. It may be because of a lot of other things.
Right.
In addition to type. Right. So I would just say that, you know, when I, well, in 12-step recovery programs, a sponsor would say to a sponsee, hey, let's get together. Okay, so when the sponsee asks this person to be their sponsor, the sponsor usually says, let's get together and see if it works. And then the sponsor can say, you know, I'm not sure that we're a good fit, but let me introduce you to someone else who I think might be.
Ooh, that's where knowing numbers would be really helpful.
Yeah. Or the sponsee will say, I don't think it's a good fit. Right? So, and by the way, no harm, no foul. No one's going to feel hurt in the 12-step world if that's the conclusion of the conversation. Because everybody wants just to help someone else get sober and stay sober emotionally and, you know, in terms of using. So, you know, again, super helpful though. So helpful to have that insight. And again, when you know someone else's type, you can figure out in super short order what their inner world is like. If you didn't know their type, it might take you a year to get that information. You know, and by the way, with a new person in sobriety, you may not have a year. You know what I mean?
Like
the faster you can get it, the more likely you're going to be able to help them.
Ooh, that's sobering.
I mean, if we had a rim shot right now, I'd give you it.
I don't know if you'd catch the pun or not, but good on you. Okay, our next question is from Sheetal Cordry, and they ask, I've been deep into the Enneagram for about 4 years, thought I knew my number, and now I'm a little all over the place. I'm 40, and I'm all about getting to know myself better. How would you suggest I grow closer to knowing my number?
Yeah, okay. I wish I knew what her type was, right? That would help me to start
it's
to answer.
It's a big question.
It is a big question. And let me give you two answers. The one is a topic I've spoken about many times. The other one is one I rarely speak about.
Okay.
When a person starts to have trouble understanding their type, go look at subtypes, right? If you can't figure out your core type, it may be because you're the counter type. It may be because you are a version of your type that is to be found in the subtypes, and it just it just gives you a refined picture beyond core type that'll help you. Now let me give you another way Okay.
Okay.
And this has to do with what are called Enneagram stances.
Okay.
Okay. So each stance has a strategy that helps them get what they want in life, right? Okay. Helps them achieve a goal, mm-hmm. right? And there's three, and I'm not going to be able to go into depth on this, but there's three different stances, three types in each stance. All right. So the aggressive stance are threes, sevens, and eights.
Okay.
So they're the most assertive numbers on the Enneagram. And when they want to achieve a goal or satisfy a desire, mm-hmm. they just go and get it.
Right.
Right. They just go directly and ask for it.
Yeah.
Right. Or right. take it even yeah. sometimes. Right. So there's, sort of a proactive sort of posture, mm-hmm. and they just are more assertive about going to get what they want. Now, there's what's called the dependent stance. And in that stance are ones, twos, and sixes.
Okay.
Now, they are less assertive than the threes, sevens, and eights.
Okay.
Okay. And when they want something, when they desire something, or they want to achieve a goal, they're going to rely more on relationships.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Than let's say threes, sevens, and eights, who can just go after it on their own, right? They're just go-getters, right?
Yeah.
Ones, twos, and sixes, and this is why we call them in the dependent stance, just really will rely on relationships to achieve a goal or to get what they want. Then fours, fives, and nines are in what's called the withdrawing stance.
Right.
Okay. And when they want something, they desire something, or they want to achieve a goal, they will need to pull away to be alone with themselves to figure out how to do it. And they're more self-referencing, mm-hmm. whereas ones, twos, and sixes would be other referencing.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
In their approach. And, so for me as a four, you know, I tend to go inside mm-hmm. when I want to achieve a goal, and I get alone, and perhaps when I'm alone, I start to think through how I do it. I might feel my way toward what I need to do,
yes,
right?
Right.
Unlike a five or a nine would. But all to say, if you're uncertain of your type, one of the things you can ask yourself is, when I want to achieve something or get what I want, am I assertive mm-hmm. in doing it? Mm-hmm. Or am I more dependent, relying on relationships to do it or to get it? Mm-hmm. Or am I more withdrawn? Mm-hmm. Right? Now, if you can say, oh, I'm assertive, right? Well, now we've narrowed your type down to three, seven, or eight.
That's so good.
Right? And then there's a process of elimination. You've just eliminated six types, mm-hmm. right?
I think remember, one of the ways that you helped identify Amy Grant is you backed into her number that way.
That's
that
right.
Episode. Yeah, that was really good.
So let's go back to twos and nines. We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're uncertain about whether you're a two or a nine.
Right.
In addition to reading up on your type, looking at subtypes, answering the questions I just asked earlier on in this episode, you could ask yourself the question, am I assertive? Am I dependent? Mm-hmm. Or am I withdrawn in my stance?
Right. So the nine withdraws and the two would be dependent.
Yeah. So you could just ask yourself those questions.
That's
and go,
really
oh,
good.
Yeah, I'm definitely a withdrawn type. So chances are I'm a nine, not a two.
Yeah.
You see how that works?
Yeah. And that's probably somewhere where someone else could, that's where friends could help with observation of how you handle situations.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it's so much about motives, the stances in particular, people can go, yeah, I experience you as very aggressive or withdrawn or, you know, relational.
Right. When you want something.
Yeah.
Or when you're trying to accomplish something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you for answering these questions.
You're so very welcome.
Yeah, and before we let our people go, I want you to know that we just hosted our Typology Institute membership town hall on addiction this week, and we'd love for you to join us for next month's town hall on July 27th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll be talking about the Enneagram and mindfulness, and we'll be doing a live meditation during the town hall. Sign up at typologyinstitute.com/membership to get the invite. Follow Ian on Typology Podcast or Ian Morgan Cron on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Hey, listen, it's been great to be with you all today. Hope you enjoyed this mailback episode. As always, feel free to DM your questions to us on social media as well, and we'll pick up some more of these questions and answer them on another mailbag episode. Thanks again, all, and have a fantastic week. See ya.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.